it's such a good thing to understand, because we live in a world now where men are not actually allowed to lead. They're not allowed to be leaders in in their relationships.
We talk about that all the time.
It's terrible.
And we need men like you. And I tell that to James. I said, we need men like you to share this, because we need that. As much as, like, I love being feminine, and even though I'm an entrepreneur, sometimes I think that can turn on my a different hat of mine, as I will, but that doesn't mean that I don't want to be turned back to being feminine and submissive. It's like, please be the spiritual leader. Please. I want that. And I think many women like me want that. And then guys are afraid, or there's just not enough people, men like you, out there advocating for men. And I always say, and I'm saying to you, and I say it to James, I feel like that's such a calling needed, is for men to reach other men and saying, this is how it goes. You gotta live it, you gotta love it. Testimony goes on and on and on. It's magnetic, it's prophetic, it's got stories being told. Welcome back to the Jesus Magnet Podcast. I'm your host, Joel, and today we have Lisa on the show. Lisa's from the States. She is a children's author full-time, has been an entrepreneur for 23 years, and her heart is how important children are and how we can essentially make sure that we are aware of how important the children are in the world, and that we're, essentially keen to see how to, because I'm actually quite excited for this, because I'm having my first baby in the next 6 months. So the children part sort of like scare me a little bit in a good way. So Lisa, I'm super excited to have you on the show. We're going to go through your testimony to begin, and I just want you to start kind of wherever you feel like it begins. And also, for all the people that are listening, we're going to make sure that if you are interested in any of these products, any of these books, we're going to make sure that there's a link below. So check them out if you've got kids. There's some amazing Kingdom God principles in all these children books. I'll be sure to make sure that I'm purchasing one for my child. So, Lisa, I'm going to pass it over to you and see how your testimony begins. Well, thank you, Joel. What a nice introduction. I'm so happy to be on your show and connect with your listeners. And congratulations on being a new dad.
Thank you. Thank you.
We'd love to get you my children's Christian book, God's Masterpiece.
Awesome.
And I created, people often ask me why I turned my life to become a full-time children's author. And my background, mind you, was like 26 years in business, marketing, and branding. And I was one time on your end where I was a podcaster. I've done live radio shows for years. And when, as you know, when you connect with different people from all walks of life, there's something special about connecting with people and finding their true calling, their story. And I feel like a podcaster like yourself, you probably love you're a storyteller, and you can draw from people's stories, that we are all different and we are each God's masterpiece. So I'll get into my testimony. I became Christian 3 years ago, and I've always believed in God. I grew up Catholic, and I've been a Hispanic family, born and raised in El Paso, Texas. I currently reside in California. Growing up in El Paso, Texas, middle child, Hispanic, large family, as many Hispanics are known for good food, large families, lots of love. We did grow up with what I say, humble beginnings, aka poor. And so in growing up, my mother was a devout Catholic. We actually went to church every day. We prayed the rosary often. Going back to my childhood, though, I didn't have that relationship with God that any of us can get at any time. So here I am, fast forward today, as I said, I became Christian 3 years ago when I was going through a personal ordeal with life struggles, as now I know from the Bible that, you know, sometimes when we have our long suffering, that's when we are closest to God, because he wants us to have a relationship with him. So the question asked to me 3 years ago when I was going
through a crisis, a struggle, as many of us have. My sisters, who had been Christian for some time, when I reached out to them in you know, crying and tears and wanting to know how to change my life, because it was really hard. It was also the pandemic. And each of them asked me, I understand what you're going through. I feel and see your pain. What's your relationship with God, Lisa? And I'd never been asked that question. And I called up another sister and she asked me the same question. They didn't even talk to each other about this. But so that's a question I often ask people who don't have a relationship with God yet or don't understand. Is that question work for me? What is your relationship with God? Because oftentimes many people can grow up with religion. You can grow up in the Christian church, or and you can memorize the Bible. That doesn't mean you have a relationship with God.
Mm. That's so true. That is so true. It's one of the fundamental things that Jesus sort of said to the Pharisees. You know, like, you guys are, you do everything, but your heart is solid. Like it's hardened, but on the outwards you have this facade of, I think, not saying that the Catholics don't have a relationship with Jesus, but often they have a facade of like being very deeply connected to Mary and things like that. And it's really the relationship with Jesus Christ is who we need to be having communion with. And Jesus says, there's that, oh, it's the terrifying, most terrifying scripture. It's in Matthew, maybe 27. And these people come up to Jesus and they say, Lord, Lord, I have done all these miracles in your name. And, you know, they've raised the dead. They've done all these amazing things in Jesus' name. And Jesus turns from them and says, leave from me, you evil, wicked doers, for I never knew you. And I just find that, am I, even if you are like a healing evangelist and things like that, man, you got to have a relationship with Christ. He's got to know you, and you've got to know him. So that's such a crucial question that you were asked. I love that.
Yes, thank you. And you know, I love sharing my testimony, as many of us do, and because I wish I had become Christian, had this relationship with God at a younger age. The relationships I had been in up until that point did not serve me well, and ended in, you know, breaking up per se. And I mean, who wants to go through breakup? Nobody. You know, we're designed for love and the commitment of that. And when I look back at all my relationships, Joel, there was no God in there. I never dated intentionally before then with someone that believed in God. And as we read in the Bible, that the man's supposed to be the spiritual leader. From that point forward, I completely changed my life. I got into the Bible and as far as reading it, because again, I never really fully absorbed the stories. And I just was so, like, I'm going to say, I was just so adamant to my sisters who helped me through this walk with Christ and understanding Christianity. I said, please teach me as I'm a child. I often tell people, if I'm learning something new, teach me like I'm a first grader, the way I like to teach people. So I sometimes even need pictures. I need thanks be to God. We have Google, we have the Bible apps and different ways we can learn. I need that to understand it, to believe it, and then be able to share and teach others. So then, because I was already a full-time children's author with my Unicorn Jazz book series, going from school to school, and thanks to God's design that he was setting me up for this. And then I said, wow, I could create a book for children that's Christian-minded, that I wish I would have had, that would have taught me what is your relationship with God and the why. And so what's interesting is that, as we know, God knows what he's doing, and he gave me this tremendous purpose and passion for doing this. And as I learned, like, we all have a calling and a purpose. We're each designed to be different and unique. That's why we are God's masterpiece. And then it helped me rise out of the struggles that I had, because I realized what I had, it was pretty awesome with the gifts and the talent and the ability to reach people and go into the joy. You know, one of the first...
Yeah, I just want to quickly ask, well, you being an author now, was that something that you were doing before you were saved? Or were you doing, what were you doing before you felt the call to do the children's author stuff?
Excellent question. I was an author. I had published many books by then in English and Spanish and books. I tell people my life story is kind of like the movie Benjamin Button, where he starts off an old person and then ends up as a baby, if you've seen that movie with Brad Pitt. I had worked with adults for 25 years in business and marketing. And then in 2018, I changed my life to walk away from that and do what I didn't know what God was setting me up to do then in 2018, because I became Christian about a year and a half after. And it was to write stories. I grew up really shy, like my character Unicorn Jazz, and introverted. Since I was a little girl, like if many of you, I often say, what is it something that you really liked doing as a child? If you had that drive, I loved writing. Because I was shy and quiet, my only voice was on paper. So I'm not going to say I risked everything and walked away. By that time, I had experience building businesses as an entrepreneur. And so coming back to, sorry, I know I went, what was your question again? I know we'll have to edit this part out.
No, you're right. It was, so you have been an entrepreneur for years and years, prior to you being saved as well. And were you an author, or were you doing different business ventures?
Okay, got it. Okay. So I had been an author, and I already been going to schools with my Unicorn Jazz book series that teach about empathy, feelings, kindness, and that we're all unique. So what's interesting, Joel, is that God was already setting me up, having all this success and going into schools, sharing my story on the secular side with public schools. When I went through my crisis about 3 years ago, there's a part of you when you go through crisis that maybe you think like, what am I meant for? What is this all for? What has my life been? Has it been even purposeful? All these questions that we ask ourselves. Well, my purpose I had with my children's book series. And if I didn't have that, I don't know that I would have had the will to live, to be honest, because it was really hard, the suffering and everything that was to come from that failed relationship that I got out of, because it was not following any biblical values or principles. And one of the first verses from the Bible that stood out to me is, and I'm going to read it so that I get it right for your listeners. I pulled it up. Okay. So it's a Galatians 5:23, where it says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the spirits is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. So again, the fruits of the spirits, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So any one of us can take a look at our life, and that if you're in a relationship with your partner, are we living that? And of course, who doesn't want joy? Joy means you're going to have happiness. Who doesn't want peace? Peace is lasting. Who doesn't want love? But when you, and then you look at that keyword of self-control and what that can mean for many of us, it's something that interesting and important to look at. And so that verse was one of the verses that started changing my life.
Wow. That's Galatians 5:22 and 23 is a powerful, powerful verse. And it's one of the ones that I used to be an early childcare teacher for a long time. And it's one of the key verses that we teach children. So I just find that amazing that was the verse on the other side of the world that hooked you, and now you're so connected to children and your ministry and things like that.
Yes, so amazing to me that I still have happiness and I have joy, and I've learned that many of us are going to go through losses in life. All of us are. You can still find peace in your sorrow. You can still find joy in a loss. And I feel that that's so important, because at my age, I find that I reach out, I connect with many adults and people going through suffering, losing someone. My boyfriend, he's a Christian. I met a Christian man that was all the things my sisters said that would be awesome, and it is. And he's a widower. He lost his wife, and so it's just so interesting that we can relate to a blueprint that's found in the Bible. When one of my drawings, and I know your listeners can't see it, but you can see it online. And yes, all my work is on Amazon and bookstores. So one of the drawings that I had my illustrator, Davy Villalobos, who is my cousin, is I'm holding up a drawing of joy. She's holding a blueprint. And the page says, love always perseveres. And I just feel like each one of us has a blueprint of life. What is it? Who's in your story? Who do you want to be in your story? If you, like you becoming a new parent, you now get to make a blueprint for your child or children. And when I, for me to, under, the way I explain the Bible, what I wish was taught to me at a young age, is the Bible is a blueprint. It's a, it's the foundation. And as you enter into relationship, and God loves marriage, God loves us to be in a relationship, because, you know, where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is in our lives, in the midst. And so now you have a blueprint that you can go off of. And I often enjoy talking about dating or people who, you know, relationships that if you are married and you're not living that the biblical principles, that blueprint, and if you find that there's a, you know, problems or suffering, you go to the Bible and the truth is there. So for me, had I known this, I would never have not dated a Christian before this. So I get so excited in when people want to have a good relationship. They're older, you know, and they're tired of, why did this relationship fail? Well, the first thing I always say is, what is your relationship with God? And if you're a guy, how are you leading your, you know, your wife to be or your wife if you're not doing these things?
That is so good. I find that looking at the Bible and the blueprint of it, it's really a giant wedding story. Right from the Garden of Eden is engagement and break away from that engagement to Jesus being the restoration of that engagement, finishing with a wedding feast, wedding ceremony, literally at the end, you know, at the end of the Bible, at the end of time, is a wedding ceremony, and that we are the bride of Christ and Jesus is the bridegroom. And when you understand that fundamentally, you have a blueprint that can reflect a perfect relationship and how you're supposed to act as Christ acts to the church, how the husband is supposed to act to your wife, and how the wife is supposed to act to the husband, and how we know that Christ loves us absolutely unconditionally, no matter how many times that we stuff up or nag him or anything like that. And if you take that that mirror to a marriage covenant, you've got the husband's job is to lead and to love the wife, and the wife's job is to be led by the husband, even if you don't understand what's going on. And because that's how I feel all the time with my relationship with Christ, is to be led by him, even if I don't understand what's going on. And my wife understands. So I'm an entrepreneur, and buy and sell property and things like that. That's my tent-making business for the Jesus Magnet. And sometimes when I come across a deal, my wife doesn't really understand fully what I'm doing. Has a pretty good idea, but her job isn't to understand; it's to trust me that as the husband, I am doing what's best for her. And the same reason that our job as Christians is to trust Jesus, even if we don't really know what he's doing. We got to trust that he actually does know what he's doing. We don't have to know what he's doing. We just have to trust him because we know that he knows.
Yeah.
There's a good quote that I run my life by is, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And
I love that.
I've always gone by that in my life.
I love that. So this page I'm holding up, it's Joy's holding the Holy Bible with the characters all around her, and there's a cross in the heavens above. And this was, let God be the author of your life. And my mother, who for years wanted me to have a relationship with God and understand who Jesus Christ was, she would tell me years and years ago, before I became Christian, Lisa, there you are writing your story. It's like writing your story in the chalkbook. You're doing it yourself. And God's erasing that. Nope, that's not my will for you. And I tell that story to so many people because how many of us are living in the world and not letting God, be the author of our story, like you said, about tomorrow and not worrying. When I, again, there's so many things when I started reading the Bible and worrying, to worry what you, to you are insulting God by worrying, instead of surrendering to trusting him. Things I wish I knew. Things I wish I knew was young. It's not like I never avoided it. For some reason, the mark of teaching me a certain way was not there. And I would tell my sisters, why didn't I know this? Like, you all knew faster than me. And they said, Lisa, God knew also what he was doing. Well, none of us are speakers. None of us are children's authors. Like, we are now, like, they're, they have much more experience than me. But they said, but they support me and encourage me because God knew that all this, this story of mine, this testimony, I would be passionate as I am today to be able to, I want to change lives as many as I can. That's my calling. I never want people to suffer. I have a vow that anybody who ever needs to talk to me, I'm always reachable. Anybody who is not sure about changing their life, pursuing a relationship with God and having Jesus Christ as our savior, I could tell you so many anecdotes and stories of what life is like if you do not. As my nephew, who's Christian, Andrew, from New York, taught me, God gave us free will. God gave us free will so we could choose him.
That's true. Yeah, the free will thing is huge when you start to understand. Because what do they say? The question that I get asked the most when I do apologetics is, why do bad things happen to good people? And my response to that is, it only happened once, and he volunteered, because we are not good people. And yeah, it's a good thing to understand that bad things happen to us in the sense of, because God has allowed the ultimate freedom of free will, which means we can do bad things. And sometimes we do bad things to more people. And yeah, hurt people. But it doesn't mean that God's not love and just. Essentially, if God did fix all of the sort of bad, evil things in the world, we would probably not be here if he did that. But if we were here, we would be have our free will stripped from us. And in a strange sense, that's kind of the gospel, because Jesus himself submits his own will and says, "Let your will be done and not my will." And part of being a Christian is to take on the mind of Christ, essentially laying our lives down on what we will to do and let God's will run through us. So it's kind of like taking our own free will away in a weird way, but it is for the best for us. But we have the choice to be able to tap into the will of God and in his perfect will and perfect plan for us. But we still have the free will to do that. So it's like a weird, like, both scenarios, isn't it? I suppose.
Right.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about your journey.
The same thing as,
sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, tell me a little bit more about your journey.
Oh yeah. No, I want to add to that. I love the topic. I love the topic of free will. I love the topic of free will because I feel it's important again in relationships. Like, some people are in relationships where they have a controlling partner. Mm. Well, the more you control something, you're actually not going to get it. Mm. You give to someone free will, right?
Yeah.
And my background is also in social psychology. So I have spent my life studying human behavior. Now combine that with studying the Bible. And until the day I die, I love learning. There's so much learning in being Christian and helping others. And I love that there's the same language, like things that you've said on this show, Joel, are things that I've heard before through my pastor, through my sisters. And again, that's the blueprint. I think when you don't have Christianity, you're just on this random, it's just like this random way of living. There's no intention. And again, our days are numbered, as our pastor just reminded us recently, our days are all numbered. How do you going to figure out life on your own that's random the way I was figuring it out that came with a lot of pain and suffering, or this way? Having Christian-minded friends, having community, learning, knowing that we're all sinners, knowing that we all face temptation doesn't mean we're perfect. It's just life is so much easier. When life is easier, you have peace. When you have peace, you can be that joy for others. You could get out of bed. You can be the opposite of depressed. And I just will love inspiring people as long as God allows me to.
That's so good. I keep bringing it back to the whole marriage thing and how my wife, yes, has free will, but chooses to kind of go under my final say of we're going to go this way, we're going to go this way. It's not a control thing, but she actually trusts my direction with Jesus, and we have that free will to submit to his direction in our lives in the same way that my wife has free will to trust that I'm making the best calls for our life. And it's not that I don't do those decisions without her and without discussing her, like a full control freak, but a very, very healthy biblical marriage is one where the husband does lead the family, but leads them with the intention of the whole intention of the wife, really, of what is best for her, and not under any sort of selfish ambition or anything like that. It is what's best for my wife. But yeah, it's like such a funny word, the free will one, eh? Because it is free will, but it's kind of like voluntarily like laying down your will, so you kind of don't have it in one sense, but you have the free will to give it up.
To choose. it's a choice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And life is, otherwise you feel isolated. And I have many friends that are single and they want to be in a relationship and they just can't find one. And I just say, like, well, you know, my formula, and it's not my formula, but this has been my formula in this lifetime, is to follow the blueprint of the Bible, to follow, we get with like-minded mentors. You know, if we were in the same city, I'd love to connect with you and your wife. And I just love that, the fellowship, though, that we can still have in staying connected, and that you are sharing you're in New Zealand, I'm in California, United States. There's not, you can speak the same blueprint language that's found in the Bible. That's not like, oh, well, that's your opinion, Joel. I think you're wrong, you know?
That's okay.
Well, you can maybe interpret something different, but to me, I just love that piece. And again, if I could have learned this as a 7-year-old, I'm grateful, but I didn't. If now I can reach young children and adults, because we were all once children. Children are important because we were once them and they are our future, whether you have children or not. That's my passion. And in doing so, it's a way to relive my childhood. And I say correct it. It's a way for me to reach masses of people and children of all ages and adults, because we all love to be young at heart, to have a better way of life if you don't know it. And I'm so grateful, like my boyfriend James and I, we pray every morning. We do devotionals. Thanks be to God, we have technology and apps that we, you know, many of us do. And he says that he, you know, we both say we love it. And how I get so excited. I think it's very attractive when, of course, the man's a spiritual leader, like how you said, the design. And we were recently doing a devotional on marriage and how it's saying that the man is meant to give up the way I'm butchering this. You're going to know it better than me. How men are, a husband is to love the wife the way Christ loved the church.
It's such a good thing to understand, because we live in a world now where men are not actually allowed to lead. They're not allowed to be leaders in their relationships.
We talk about that all the time.
It's terrible.
And we need men like you. And I tell that to James. I said, we need men like you to share this, because we need that. We, you know, as much as, like, I love being feminine, and even though I'm an entrepreneur, sometimes I think that can turn on my a different hat of mine, as I will, but that doesn't mean that I don't want to return back to being feminine and submissive. It's like, please be the spiritual leader. Please. I want that. And I think many women like me want that. And then guys are afraid, or there's just not enough people, men like you out there advocating for men. And I always say, and I'm saying to you, and I say it to James, I feel like that's such a calling needed, is for men to reach other men and saying, this is how it goes.
Well, I see it as a step up. So men struggle these days to step up in the sense of step into a responsibility. And then you get these men that don't actually know how to be men. They they're not allowed to either. We live in a culture where they're not allowed to be a man, because if they do step up, then it's controlling or whatever it is. But one of the most attractive things that a woman can have towards a man is a man who knows what he wants, is really good at making decisions, doesn't isn't swayed left and right to every different opinion. They're grounded. And but to be like that, you have to step up. You have to understand that there's a stepping up involved. Yes. And when you can step up, you can step up in the sense of like I love the idea that my decisions with my wonderful, wonderful wife, I make them with my wife every day, but I get the final call, and she knows that. And that actually creates stability in our relationship, in our marriage, because if there's a really tough call, we're not ever going to be in two separate ways. She's going to say, I think we should go this way, but what do you think? And whatever you think, we're going to go with. But this is, and I hear her out, I go, all right, give me everything that you know about it, but I'm going to make the final call. But I'm going to make it under the umbrella of what is best for you and what is best for us as a married couple. And, man, that allows me to step into a responsibility where, man, I take these decisions so seriously that they become the best decisions I've ever made. If I was just making it for my own self and not anybody else, I'd probably be a bit more loose with what I decided to do. I might be a bit more risky or something like that. But the fact that I have to make it to protect somebody else, man, I do my research on everything that I do, because I know that my decision carries the weight of somebody else as well. And that is such a healthy thing for a man to step into. And, yeah, I don't know what we've done with our culture to eradicate that so badly, but, yeah, it is something that we need to learn. And I can only do it, by the way, with Jesus leading me.
No, and I honor you. Yeah, and he is. And he is leading you, because men need it. You know, I've been a single mom for a lot of my life. And so my older son, he never really had a dad. And I see the aftermath from that, you know. So I honor you for making that statement about being a spiritual leader because of your household, because as you're going to have children, you know, a child or children. And guess what? Your children are watching you by example, not just your words, more than anything. And me being a parent and changing my life, my children have seen what having God in my life has done. And it's changing their lives.
Awesome.
Automatically. You don't have to do anything. Just live your life in goodness and God. And so I'm seeing their lives get better. And who doesn't want that for their children? Mm. Once your children turn 18, doesn't mean life is over being a parent. It's actually they're looking at you more. Because they can actually use their words. They can, you know, judge you.
Have you seen the stats on the likeliness of a family being saved? And I can't remember them off the top of my head, but the likeliness of a family being saved, if the father gets saved first, and the family, none of the family know Christ, and the father gets saved, you're talking like a 95% chance that the rest of the family will eventually get saved in the next couple of years. If the mother gets saved first, but not the father, it goes down to about 40% chance, way down. So the man has a huge amount of, what do I call it, influence over the family. And then if the child gets saved first in a family and the rest of the family are not saved, it's about a 5% chance. It's really low that the rest of the family will get saved. But this is when... the way that I see it is every little percent counts. You know, if the mother gets saved and then the son or the daughter, you know, those percentages start adding up. And to encourage people that if you are the only person saved in your family, especially for the men out there, if they're thinking of salvation, to be bold about it, because you could literally affect your entire family that quick. And even the mother, like 40%, it's something around those lines. I remember being under 50%. But it was still large enough to most likely affect the children. But it just shows the influence that each family member can have, but also shows the natural leadership roles in our families And
yes,
that, yeah, I love how you're saying that your kids are recognizing a difference in you now that you're, you know, full on running after Christ.
Yeah, early on, my older son, who's in,
there you go.
Yeah, and I love how, yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yep.
By the way?
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. You were cutting out a little bit for me, but okay. So yeah, no, when I years ago when I was reading the Bible and you know, I remember my older son Matthew called me up, like it was like 8 o'clock at night, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm reading the Bible." And he just kind of chuckled, "Well, I know that's probably true, but that's something that you never would have said before." Like, and I said, "Yeah, well, this is what I'm doing because my sisters taught me about, you know, making God your number one and how all your life will change by doing this." And I believed it, and it has been true. And, you know, my older son also said months later, "You know, this is the best version of you we've seen, Mom."
Wow.
I mean, who doesn't want to hear that, you know? And I can admit, like many parents, like being, I was a mom at the age of 19. I was a young single mom, and there's no manual to parenting, as we know. And I just, you know, I had a lot of regret for not doing the things I should have done. Like, you can have regret as a parent. Like, I should have done this, I should have done that. We have from this day forward, as I've learned. And now I feel like I am playing catch up on being the best I can be, knowing that I still come with, you know, I'm not perfect, da da da. But for me, it's kind of like now, like, you know, my older son Matthew and his wife Lori, they want to have grandchildren, and I just like, I can't wait to be the grandma. I can't wait to have God in their children's lives. And then I have a younger son who's 18, and he's just more inquisitive, always asking me about this God journey. And as I've learned, we all have our spiritual journey. And I never want to preach to anyone. If they have questions, I'll share my testimony, my story. I'll share the truth from the Bible, and people can learn on their own. But again, I just use my story and my example with my sisters, who, by the way, and we meet twice a month at Zoom. There's 9-10 of us, sisters in Christ, friends that became sisters in Christ, that they, what started for me and them teaching me through Zoom, because it was a pandemic, became for all of us. We just had our 3-year anniversary of meeting in October of 2023. And they said, "Lisa, we did this for you." And immediately within months, this started changing their lives and teaching me.
Wow.
And me asking questions and the group. So again, as we know, it's important to get into community, whether you do it through Zoom, whether you do it through your local community. It's just the love that your fellow, you know, Christians have for you is so amazing and so needed.
Yeah, man, so good, so good. Lisa, what do you have some advice for families, especially with children, and how to hook them onto the journey of getting to know Christ and having that relationship at a young age? Because you've got these children's books, and obviously you would have studied children and their psychology and things like that. What are some of the things that some of our parents that are listening right now,
yeah,
that can, you know, grasp a few nuggets of wisdom to make sure that their children are learning to know who Christ, yes, is from a young age?
I love that question. If knowing what I know now, and if I could, I would tell, you know, people who are parents, and to get into the Word, maybe read, you know, get into the children's Christians books that are out there. Get in it for yourself for the first time. Discover for yourself what is your relationship with God, and learn to interpret that to a child, even for a baby, through music. You know, one of my Christian author friends, she's in Florida. Her name's Natalia. She says that her little kids running around, they're like 2-3 years old, and they're saying, "Hold your tongue," when something's not appropriate. Again, that comes from the Bible. And "hold your tongue" is an important verse for all of us as adults and children. And I love how seeing her, my niece Alyssa and Amanda, they have young children. And because they are Christian, they're teaching their children from a young, early age, from babies, you know, toddlers, who God is. And that is going to change those children's life forevermore. Mm. And there's, it's never too late to have a relationship with God. It's never too late. You could be 60 something, 70 something. I feel that parents, there's so many ways to teach children through videos today. Maybe write your own books. Doesn't mean, maybe you don't get them published. Maybe one day you will publish them when they grow up and you have the time, like I did when my kids grew up. Capture their vulnerability. Take video, take pictures. You cannot take enough of them because they get older and they don't want pictures and videos anymore. It's just to having children is the most amazing gift that I feel God has given me. It's the love that you have for children, the sacrifice you talk about, the sacrifice. And until they grow up and have children, they probably don't know, and that's okay. I don't, it's not like this tit for tat. The parent has the joy. You get to teach your children the importance of forgiveness. You're going to forgive them many times in their life. When my children were little, I used to say to them, no matter what you say or how mad you are at me, I will still love you no matter what. And isn't that what Jesus says to us? I will love you no matter what.
That's so good. That is so good. So is there any final remarks that you want to share with our listeners before we end up signing off? This whole episode has been mainly just a giant discussion about the importance of this and that and leadership and children, and I love that. I love how the Jesus Magnet can turn into like an amazing discussion that can edify myself and the listeners and just all of us. And that's what it's all about, is knowing that, you know, how do we be more Christ-like? And that's what this podcast is. It's through people's testimonies, it's through people's life and how they've what they've learned during their lives. And you've just learned so much in yours. And I love how, actually, one thing I do want to ask you is, was it difficult for you to trust Jesus in that relationship when your other relate you said about 3 or 4 years ago that you had a relationship that fell over? That can sometimes create a bit of a brick wall into trusting even Jesus again. So, yeah, how'd you get through that?
It was through the grace of my sisters who with kid gloves held my hand and taught me what having a
That's
relationship with
right.
God is like.
So,
And
discipleship.
I'll tell you, there was a time where there was a, you know, it was for when I first would, I, it was weird for me back then to say I'm Christian. Like, I'm the type that I'm not going to own a word or say something that I'm not unless I believe that. And then if you know me, that's how I am. I think that passion comes through when people meet me. And so there was a time in the beginning when I was on the fence of, do I want to become Christian? Do I want to stay in this relationship with someone that was a non-believer and what that came with? So there was a time that I didn't know if I wanted to choose being Christian and what that walk would be like. I would also think like, am I going to have to be a square? Because I don't want to be a square. Am I going to have to like, you know? And my sisters again, thank God created so many of my sisters and sisters in Christ, and they're like, no, you don't have to be a square. Or when I was starting over in the dating, like, you know, what if I don't, is there going to be chemistry? What if there's not? And then my friend Ginger's like, God knows that you need chemistry. Like, God knows all these questions I had. They were just like, God knows what you want when you open your heart to that. So it was a time that, and it really changed the trajectory of the relationship that I got out of, because my ex asked me, through our therapist, is this just a fad Lisa's going through? Or is she really going to stay Christian? I said, it's not a fad. So it became this, like, you know, people praying for me. And the day before our relationship ended, where it just he completely walked out on me, the day before, my sisters were all praying over me through the phone. And they said, God, if there's anything in Lisa's life that's stopping her from, you know, pursuing you, that's stopping from pursuing your will, please change that. That happened the day before. And I have, Joel, as many of us see God working through other people, through people's messages in our lives. And at the times it was through my sisters and their prayers. And every day I hear God, I pray. I mean, this, you know, we get into the power of prayer, and I know there's so much you can learn from each other as a Christian. I really enjoyed this episode, by the way. I can't wait to share it with the world. There's just so much we can learn from each other. but the importance of prayer and the importance of seeking God. And there was a time that in dating, I wasn't finding these Christian men, these spiritual leaders, but I would ask them on before I even went on a date with them, like, what is your relationship with God? When do you go to church? All these questions that I never, the younger me version would never have asked those questions. So again, our days are numbered. I looked at it like as you get older, your time is valuable. If you're just randomly dating with no intention, where is that getting you?
Mm.
You know? Yeah. So thank you. So I'd like to leave your listeners with the joy of having God in your life and that relationship, and what is it, and learn from other people. I've learned from great pastors and video storytellers like Andy Stanley, Craig Rochelle. There's so much great content out there for you to learn from. You know, if it's not just a tidbit from the amazing nuggets of information we had on the show with our stories and our walk with Christ, there's C.S. Lewis, who was once an atheist, and he talks about why being a Christian was so important. He has great verses for the importance of men being a spiritual leader. If you want to find the woman, then, you know, you find God first. And there's so much good content out there. And be the creator of good content, listen to people, discover your relationship with God. And in a way, I almost challenge people, if you don't have a relationship with God, you know, what would happen if you did? You know, try him, you know, like there's those apps that we have, like free trial. Well, you can have the trial of that free will, see where it gets you.
Yeah, that's so good. We had this one episode where a guy said he had tried everything in the world. He had tried drugs, he had tried sex and alcohol and everything. And what he said was, I've tried everything in the world, so why not try Jesus? And so he was a lot older when he got saved, and he, you know, radically transformed his life. And the Jesus Magnet actually creates T-shirts with little quotes from our guests. Some amazing nuggets that they might say, and we create T-shirts out of that, which point people back to the amazing testimony and breakthrough that all of the Christians have had. And one of the T-shirts is, tried everything, why not try Jesus? And it's just a good evangelical way to share your faith. And so thank you, Lisa, so much for being on the Jesus Magnet podcast. You're an amazing woman of God, and I love how God's just constantly radically changed you. And he's kind of like, he's changed you in the sense of, you were this amazing entrepreneur, and you had this gift in you, and he's just tweaked it to work for the kingdom, and that he's blessed you in that, and that he's cut tithes with things that were bringing death and destruction, and he's replaced that with Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gladness, self-control. And that is what follows you as a believer of Christ. So thank you so much, Lisa, for joining us on this episode of the Jesus Magnet Podcast. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Jesus Magnet Podcast. If you enjoyed this, make sure that you connect with us. Find us on Facebook, on Instagram. And if you want to support us, be a member of our coffee club, Jesus Magnet Coffee Club. See you next time on the Jesus Magnet.